Nancy DeMoss Wagamu says hospitality isn't optional.
Whether you are married or single, whether you have your own home or you share an apartment with some other women, whether you're rich or poor, you have a mandate to be hospitable.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagamu, author of Choosing Gratitude. For April 18th, 2024, I'm Dana Gresh. As we've seen this week, Jesus showed hospitality to those around him, and it couldn't have been easy. He was single, he didn't have a permanent home, and he lived in a hot desert climate. But instead of making excuses, he obeyed his Father. Let's find out how to do the same. Here's Nancy.
We've been talking about the ministry of hospitality and how as we extend hospitality to others, as we open our hearts and our homes to others, we become a reflection of the hospitable heart of God and of the heart of Christ who came into this world, and though he was not received, he came to receive us. And he asks us to receive him and then to receive others as he has received us. Now, when we think about hospitality, it's easy to think of certain people who come to our minds who are just really natural hosts. I mean, you know the kind of person I'm talking about. Their home is just kind of a constant bed and breakfast, and they're always having people in, and they make it seem so easy, and their house never gets dirty, and their linens are always clean, and they always have fresh flowers sitting on the bedstand, and for any guests who might just happen to come by, and they just have this home that sparkles and this heart that sparkles. We think of that kind of person, and if you're like me, and these things don't come as naturally, you tend to think, well, that's good. They have the gift of hospitality, but I don't. I want us to see from God's word that the ministry of hospitality is not just for some specially gifted people. Now, thank the Lord for those people. My mother is one of them. She loves hospitality. She is wonderful at it. She's a gracious hostess, and I grew up in a home where this was modeled. But I'm glad that I don't have to be as natural at all that as she is and as some other women that I know. It's important for us to understand from the scripture that all of us are to practice hospitality, that we have a biblical mandate to be hospitable. Now, there are different ways that we can do this, and there are some people who will specialize in different kinds of hospitality, and it's important not to look at someone else and the way they exercise hospitality and to feel like you have to do it exactly that way. But in our heart, we are all to have a heart of hospitality and to be extending the kindness and the grace and the mercy of God to others. Hospitality is for every Christian, in every culture, in every era. Carl Henry was a well-known theologian of the past generation, and he said, "Christian hospitality is not a matter of choice. It is not a matter of money. It is not a matter of age, social standing, sex, or personality. Christian hospitality is a matter of obedience to God, a matter of obedience to God. And whether you are married or single, whether you have your own home or you share an apartment with some other women, whether you're rich or poor, you have a mandate to be hospitable. I think of someone I know who, a couple who extended great hospitality to people over the years. The wife died not too long ago, and it's been a beautiful thing to see how this husband with four children has continued the ministry of hospitality as a widower. And you'd think if there'd be anybody who could say, well, now is not the season for us to be hospitable, that he could have an excuse. And he's demonstrated, as have others that I know, that there's no excuse, no good excuse for not having a hospitable heart. I want us today to look at two verses in the New Testament that talk to us about this mandate to practice hospitality and show us that this really is a matter of obedience. First of all, we come to Romans chapter 12. Now, to put this in context, Paul begins in verse 1 of chapter 12 by saying, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God." The key to exercising all these biblical exhortations is, first of all, to give yourself totally to God, to consecrate yourself and all that you are and all that you have to God. Then our hospitality and other acts of love will be an outworking of that surrendered life. Now, beginning in verse 9, Romans chapter 12, Paul says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. love each other in a pure way, without hypocrisy, not just saying you love each other, but actually loving each other. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Be tender with each other. Be kind to each other. Have a brotherly love for each other because you're members of the same family. So take care of each other. Look out for each other. He says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Be humble with each other. Lift each other up. Say to the other person, you matter to me. You're important to me. And then he goes on to say specifically how we do that. Distributing to the needs of saints. I'm in verse 13, Romans 12. Given to hospitality. Distributing to the needs of saints and given to hospitality. This is not an option. This is a direction. Love each other. Be kindly affectionate to each other. Prefer one another above yourself. Distribute to the needs of others and be given to hospitality. Some of your translations may say practicing hospitality. Actually, the word here in the original language is stronger than either of those translations. It's a word that means to pursue, to strive for something. It suggests vigorous effort, something that you go about with intentionality. You determine to be hospitable. You pursue hospitality. One Greek scholar translates it this way, practice hospitality with enthusiasm. Be eager to show hospitality. So this is not something that we just stumble into or we happen to do if we just wake up and feel like it. It's something we are purposeful about. We think about it. We pray about it. We plan for it. We prepare for it. We look for opportunities to extend hospitality. Do you pursue hospitality? Are you intentional about it? Or do you just do it on holidays and special occasions when it's expected? Is hospitality for you a way of life? Not just an event, not just special occasions, but a way of life. Paul says, pursue hospitality. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 4, we get another little insight into how we are to be hospitable. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, Peter says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, in light of the lateness of the hour and the shortness of time, therefore, there's some things you're supposed to do. Be serious. Be watchful in your prayers. Be spiritually on your toes. Be alert. And above all things, considering the lateness of the hour, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Isn't it interesting that he says the time is growing late? It's a time of persecution. It's a time when we're anticipating the return of Christ. We're facing hostility, growing hostility from the world. And he says, in light of this, what are you supposed to do? You think he'd say, go out and evangelize or go out and write papers about why the gospel is true. And those things are good. But I think he's saying the way you do that is by loving one another. That's the way you make the gospel believable in our generation. Have fervent love for one another. Now, how do we do that? Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I wish he would have just finished the sentence after be hospitable to one another, because I think maybe I could manage that. But then when he adds that little phrase, without grumbling, I really get tripped up. But I'm glad it's there because it shows me what God's heart is as it relates to hospitality. Now, what is he saying here? We're supposed to be fervent in our love, and a practical way of expressing that is to open our hearts, open our homes to others, be hospitable to one another. This is one of the one another's of Scripture. And it's a great study sometime to go through the Scripture and see all the things we're supposed to do or be for one another in the body of Christ. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to pray for one another, to serve one another, to admonish one another, to edify one another, to care for one another. We're told to bear one another's burdens. Do you know that through fulfilling this command to be hospitable to one another, we can fulfill all those other one another's? It's in the context of my home that I've had wonderful opportunities to love others, to serve them, to encourage them, to admonish them, to bear their burdens. It's in our homes, not standing in the aisle after church, that we have the greatest opportunity to really practice the one another's of Scripture. And then he says, show hospitality to one another, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Or as some of your translations say, without complaint. I went and looked up that word in the original language. It's the word gongousmos, the word from which we get our word gong. Do it without gonging. Be hospitable. It's one of those onomatopoetic words that sounds like what it means. Do it without murmuring, without muttering, without grumbling. It means to say something in a low tone. It's usually done privately rather than publicly. And I think about that word gongousmos, gonging, muttering under my breath, and I have to plead guilty so many times when I think about hospitality and the way that I have in many cases opened my home, but with gonging, with murmuring, with muttering, how much there is to do, how hard it is to get ready for this, what an effort this is, and all I've got to do, and I can't believe the mess they made, and I can't believe what they did down in the basement, and those kids didn't pick up after themselves, kind of under my breath. Now, I would never say that to my company, but I've said it to myself, and I've said it to others. And Scripture calls us not only to be pursuing hospitality, to be intentional in our efforts toward hospitality, but when we do it, to do it without gonging, without murmuring, without muttering. Instead, we're to do it gladly, with a cheerful spirit. In this way, hospitality becomes a form of giving. And what kind of giver does God love? A cheerful giver. The word means hilarious. The one who is delighted to do this. Yes, it involves sacrifice. Yes, it is hard work. Yes, I've had the experience of coming home at 6:30 when my company got there at 6, but I had something come up at work and they beat me there. And yes, sometimes it does create pressure, but oh, to ask God to give us a heart that is cheerful in our hospitality. Say, Lord, I will pursue hospitality. And by the filling of your spirit within me, I will do it without murmuring, without complaining, without grumbling, but with joy, because I know that God loves a cheerful giver. Father, help us to be intentional as we pursue hospitality, to look for opportunities to serve others, to open our hearts, to open our homes, and to express your love. And Lord, forgive us for the times when we've extended hospitality with murmuring, with muttering, without enthusiasm, doing it as something we had to do rather than considering it as a privilege. So Lord, may we be cheerful givers, and may we show to others as we extend hospitality the way that you fervently love us, and may they know your love through our hospitality. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
That was Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth. She's been reminding us everyone is called to show hospitality in some way. Now, I do know the way the Lord wants you to show hospitality might look different in different seasons of life, but I want to caution all of us against too quickly making excuses or finding reasons why we're the one exempt person who doesn't need to show hospitality. Erin Davis explored this question with a group of friends. She was filming part of the 6-week video series that goes along with this teaching. Erin visited 4 single young women over lunch. We're about to hear from Katie Lightkep, Hannah Claggett, Jennifer Duffy, and Joanna Yee.
So when it comes to hospitality, what are some of the challenges that y'all face when inviting people over?
Apartment parking.
Yes.
Living in an apartment, having people come over,
that's real.
The space, living in an apartment, I guess, too. Like, you know, it's like you, especially being, you know, alone as a woman, I have my living room, you know, that only so many people have come, but it always all works out. Like, we've done a few game nights and people just sit on the floor and it makes it more fun anyways. And
I feel like Houston's so big that I feel like I live kind of central, but not very central. So then I sometimes feel bad, like, opening up to everybody, and then maybe in our friend group, only one person, you know, lives really far away and everybody else comes. And then also I think, like, similarly, like, I don't have a whole lot of seating. So I've thought about, like, I can fit 8 people on my couch, and then I have 2 spare chairs, and that's all.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So then it's, like, a limitation of how many people I feel like would be comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I love that, because you do want people to be comfortable in your home,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
But only so many behinds will fit on some couches.
Right. So I think just thinking about hospitality burnout, we have a friend that opens up her home all the time for every event because it fits 25 of us in her living room. Mm-hmm. But now thinking through it, I just can't imagine. She never complains. Mm-hmm. She's so sweet, but I just can't imagine now always having to be the one for every Bible study.
Yeah. And yeah. The beauty of hospitality is when it's reciprocal, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You give and I give and you give and I receive and then we go back and forth. So I do think that's part of what
yes.
leads to hospitality burnout and somebody maybe consciously or unconsciously saying, mm-hmm. I'm done.
Yes.
I'm not going to host anything for a while. Yeah. What were you going to say about hospitality challenges?
No, I think sometimes too, and when you like dig back into it, it's the enemy, but there's this thought of like, is anyone going to show up? You know?
Like, yes. Yeah.
Should real. I offer this out? Because mm-hmm. what if no one shows up? But, mm-hmm. or, and you think like a successful event or whatever is 10 people plus or mm-hmm. something like that. But there have been so many times where it's like, the most successful is just me and two other people.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. success is like a silly word, but the most like intentional or hospitable can be with any number of people.
Yeah, that's yeah. good. I definitely have felt, I don't know, like I failed or I'm disappointed or whatever when mm-hmm. 1 year for Halloween we were going to do an outdoor movie, which it's cold where I live mm-hmm. on Halloween. Mm-hmm. And we had really low turnout. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I failed. But mm-hmm. you're right. There were people there. Yeah. We enjoyed it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like what did it mean to the people who did show mm-hmm. up? You mm-hmm. know? Like sometimes we focus too much on the people who don't. Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to hospitality, I don't think more is always more.
Right.
You know, uh-huh. if we're seeking to show the Lord's heart, mm-hmm. he can be so intimate and focused on the one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit harder for us, I think. Mm-hmm. Other challenges as single women in a big city, mm-hmm. trying to live out what you see in the Bible about hospitality.
Mm-hmm. I think keeping my place clean enough or feeling like it's clean enough to be like, okay, now I'm okay with sharing. And I was listening to a podcast, and they were just talking about how the hosts were sharing how sometimes wanting to have your house so perfect is because it's a reflection of you, mm-hmm. and maybe you have an idol of, like, mm-hmm. how you're coming across, mm-hmm. which was, like, kind of striking for me.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So how do you get to that point where it feels clean enough, or you're good with, okay,
yeah,
it's time? Like, how do you get there?
I think my mom's been a good example of this. So my dad leaves, like, a house group at his church, and my mom was just kind of like, we're just like okay with it now. And like the space where everybody sits, we vacuum that area, we get rid of the extraneous stuff, mm-hmm. but they might see other parts of the house that are like less clean, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think keeping it, what is the purpose of the hospitality, right? It's not yeah. to show off my yeah. beautiful house.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's like for people to be able to come and have fellowship and encouragement, you
yeah.
know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And something you were saying, Hannah, about like the people that are there versus the people that are not there. And yeah. it's like mm-hmm. taking our focus off of ourselves and putting it on, you know, the people that are coming. And I think, you know, that's one thing my mom used to say when we were young, like a house is meant to be lived in.
Yeah.
It's like, well, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and it's like, and I think that's the most comfortable too, is when you come and it's a comfy space versus something that you're going to see in the magazine or, yeah. you know. Yeah.
I have to actually remind myself, mm-hmm. nobody is coming to film a magazine shoot today.
Right.
That's
right.
not the purpose.
So grateful.
Right? And when there is a magazine shoot at a home, that's not real. Mm-hmm. But I feel comfortable in homes that are comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
When, you know, everything is perfect, there's a level of uncomfortability in just being
right,
in the
right.
space.
So right.
we all know we have dirt. I don't know why we mm-hmm. have such hang-ups about it, mm-hmm. but we do. What is distinct about Christian, or we could call it biblical hospitality? What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I think a big part that kind of comes to mind for me is like, searching for the person who's by themselves mm-hmm. and like reaching out to people who need the hospitality. I feel like it's easy to be hospitable to your best friends,
sure.
you know, mm-hmm. and it's more effort to like reach out to that one person. Mm-hmm. And so
it's missional hospitality. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's actually how Jennifer and I met. Mm-hmm. There was a...
Who was alone?
Me. Jennifer. And there was a Tuesday night Bible study
okay.
that the church has, I don't know, 300 people show up to, wow. maybe. And my small group showed up with the intention of seeking people who were by themselves.
Mm. So you had a conversation before yeah. you went in. You said, as a group,
yes.
we're going to seek those out who look like yeah. they're by themselves. That's amazing to yeah. me. That's a lot of forethought. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we're like, come join us. So it was, as it was ending, I think I had spotted Jennifer halfway through the service or so, and you're like, okay, there she is, you know, that's what I'm going for. But then I think I probably just followed you out, and just invited her to a Sunday morning, and you can give your perspective as well. But it was this really cool just story to now we're here today, and she ended up showing up that next Sunday. And even the kind of complicated, silly part of that was that she accidentally went to the wrong Sunday school class that Sunday morning. And she went to a class
versus of big.
The people who were like 10 years younger than us, she showed up, which was kind of funny, but sought us out even, you know, even that didn't like, so they were even hospitable to like, for you to stay after going.
Oh, I love that story. What is your perspective? What do you remember about that?
Yeah, one, I would say too, kind of like how Hannah touched on it, is just that there's so much intentionality, I feel like, behind in the church. Like we seek to like be image bearers, right? And like we're, and like instead of just something like where, what we were kind of talking about with having people come over a more worldly perspective is like putting on a show, I feel like, and like having like this, you know, whatever, making people feel like how fancy you are. However, you know, all the nice things you have. And I think that was like, and just how seeing how God, like when we seek him, like just the way that he shows up so like intertwining in all of our path. Because like Hannah had done that, and like little did she know was that weekend before I was in a season of life where I literally had zero girlfriends. And I was in a Bible study with women that were much older than me that were like, you know, and I do believe God specifically put me there at the time, you know, at the time that I needed, and like women with deep roots, you know, and little did they know though that weekend I had prayed with my sister who goes to our church now, our current church, about leaving my church and Katie to come, even though I knew zero people. And I met with the pastor's wife that weekend and told her I'll be leaving the church and Katie going to this big church in the city that I, you know, and I'm walking out that night. It was on that Tuesday night, and Hannah came up behind me and said, are you sitting alone? And it was just like one of those like God things. And like, you know, and it's like just the way that like, you know, he never disappoints. And like, and it's something like when we're like, I feel like that was like a very, very selfless act to be like, okay, we're not here to get what we can get tonight, but we're looking for someone else. And like, you know, and God honored that.
So beautiful. I heard someone say once, I don't know who said it, but someone sitting alone in a church service is an emergency. And I love that visual. Yeah. Like, we should all be on high alert. Of course, not just when they're in our church building, but there's lonely people in church. There's disconnected people in church. There's hurting people in church. And your story illustrates how just one simple act of walking up to somebody you don't know and asking can make such a big difference. Did you feel awkward in that moment? Did you feel scared?
That's a good question. I was like, you know what? We're doing it.
Yeah.
We're doing it. Here we go. I feel like I had the whole, you know, probably 30 minutes of looking at Jennifer in the front row to be like, okay, what am I going to say? Whatever. And then she just continued to show up and show up and show up. And then it was time to start a small group, and I begged behind the scenes to be part of her small group. And then Katie was part of our small group, and then now here we are today.
Because one of the first people that I met in our class was Jennifer, who welcomed me into the class, and so it just continues. And if you ask a lot of the women now, like, who was your introduction into our group, it was, a lot of it goes back to these two. So it just continues. What started with Hannah was received by Jennifer, but they both continue to multiply it.
It's really sweet. Beautiful.
That's my friend Erin Davis and a group of her friends going through a new Bible study from Revive Our Hearts called You're Welcome Here. Imagine doing what these ladies did, getting together to go through this study, exploring what God's Word has to say about hospitality, and learning alongside each other. We'd like to help you do that. When you make a donation of any amount to Revive Our Hearts, we'll say thank you by sending you a copy of this study on hospitality. Again, it's called You're Welcome Here. There's an excellent video series to go with it, too. All the information is at reviveourhearts.com/hospitality. Be sure to request your free copy of You're Welcome Here when you make your donation. Again, it's reviveourhearts.com/hospitality. It's a sad fact that here in 2024, we have groups or classes of people who are excluded, ostracized, marginalized. Tomorrow, Nancy will help us see everyone like Jesus sees them. She'll continue this wonderful series on hospitality. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.